ensure the availability of sacrificial animals is sufficient for Eid al-Adha Day of Sacrifice 1446 Hijri. Quoted by Al-Aida.id, Director General of the Ministry's Animal Husbandry and Health, Albums, Uganda, said on Tuesday, coordination and identification of livestock are carried out together with related agencies at both the provincial and district and city levels throughout Indonesia, which is also focused on protecting the sacrificial animals from infectious diseases. 12 Indonesian representatives will compete on the second day of the 2025 Thailand Open Badminton Tournament at Mimi Boot Stadium, Bangkok on Wednesday. From the mixed doubles number, the pair Jafar Hidayatullah and Felicia Alberta Nathaniel Pasaribu will open the red and white team's travel. The 2025 Taiwan Open champions will face the French pair Julian Mayo and Lea Palermo in their first match. That was Newsline from Voice of Indonesia.
Made of
crisis issue on unemployment, which is a crucial issue that the Indonesian government has tried to tackle through a number of initiatives since 2024. And according to Statistics Agency, or BPS, the number of unemployed in the working age group stood at 7.47 million in August 2024, a decline of 390,000 compared to the previous year. Thus, the open unemployment rate fell from 5.32% in August 2023 to 4.91% in August 2024. So how's this unemployment rate keep steady following the U.S. tariff policies, which is we are facing now? To know more about it, on today's VOA Talk, facing the risk of layoffs due to U.S. tariff policies, joining us today, the head of the Population Research Center of the Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, or BRIN, Bapak Nawawi. Good morning, Bapak Nawawi. Thank you so much for joining us on VOA Talk.
Morning, VOA Talk.
Thank you. Like I mentioned before about the latest report from the Statistics Indonesia, that Indonesia's unemployment rate in 2025 was recorded at 4.76%, and this figure is down from the previous year, which is 4.91%. So how do you see this decrease, and why do you think this number could decrease?
Actually, this is a good news, because if you look at the data, it is the lowest number of open unemployment since the COVID-19 about 3 years ago. But we have to be careful with looking this data, because if we talk about the open unemployment, it means that this includes those who are underemployed. But the underemployed workers also increase, so it means the quality of our labor force absorption in the labor market also should be questioned. Because, for example, if you look also by sector, most of them absorb in the labor market also mostly in the informal sector, which is, you know, that informal sector always have a low income, no job security, even no social protection, and so on. So, I mean, besides the number decrease, but we should also look at the quality of this figure as well.
And what about the government's policy that affecting this decreasing number?
Actually, when we talk about the unemployment, means that this is the problem that we are always facing, especially if we look at the economic condition at the moment, where, as you mentioned before, that soon the U.S. tariff will be affect our economy, and of course, in the near future, this also affect our labor markets. I can predict that the number of unemployment will be increased, at least in the second or the third quarter of 2025. So we should be aware about this impact, especially because most of our export to U.S. mostly in the labor-intensive sector, right, such as in the textile, garment, and footwear industry, because it is also become the backbone of our economy at the moment. So if you can imagine, if the tariff implemented soon, the effect will be also very serious in our economy. And the life of maybe one of the issues that we have to aware about this.
So do you think the government's previous policy can be also implemented to decrease the unemployment rate following the U.S. tariff policies?
Yeah, I heard that the government soon will establish like a write-off tax, right?
Yes.
Such as this is, I think, a good idea to adjust something that will affect our labor market. But we should also be aware that the write-off tax is a good side, but of course, business also should be run, right? That's why the government also should look at the both sides between handling the problem issue of layoff, and also how to support the business can grow in the situation soon because of the tariff, U.S. tariff.
So, what do you think to make this task force become an anticipatory step against the risk of increasing layoffs due to the impact of U.S. economic policies?
Yeah, the layoff task force would also focus on how to increase the capability of our labor force to compete in a situation like this. For example, they also should look at how to give opportunity for those who are looking for jobs with better skills, better competency, and also how they also can manage. Because if you look at the data of the sector, mostly we are now still dominated by informal sector, including 97% of them are small, medium business entrepreneurship. That's why the government also should look at this kind of sector that need to support them, especially give incentives so they can also run their business in the middle of condition that the economic maybe will be not easy for them. That's why the layoff task force not only working on the relation between company and the workers, but also look at the potential economy that can support those who will get the layoff, and then they can also start business and so on.
Incentives and skill increasing competence really matters. What factors do you think will be affected the most that we have to be really aware of?
Of course, the manufacturing, including the textiles and garment and footwear, because this is the labor-intensive sectors and already affected by the some of the issues. Such as at the beginning of this year, you can remember that the giant textile industry Citex just laid off around 11,000 workers at the time, and also now some of the electronic industry also, because the effect of the tariff will soon also affect this kind of industry. So that's why the government should be aware about this and think about the alternative way how to deal with this kind of issue in the near future.
And one of the most suitable or on-target mitigation efforts by the industry to face this?
The layoff tax force, of course, should working with the industry how to, at least not to take the layoff as the first priority, because you know what, because we also need a job for our workers. That's why there should be a mitigation how to deal with this. One of them, I think, the government also should support the development of the creative industry, dealing with the digital economy and so on, because now I think this is one of the new sectors that promising to our economy and can also be alternative for those who have been laid off to start to get jobs or to start business and to change their mindset, not looking for job but how to create the jobs. That's why I think in the near future, government also should think about this opportunity in the digital economy and also in the creative economy, because I think we have a big potential in this sector, and the government still have to work hard to optimize the opportunity to get benefit, to get good development on these sectors.
So it's about two other skills strengthening them. One of them is the digital industry. And it also includes domestic market strengthening.
Yeah, also if you talk about the digital economy and also creative industry, it's not limited only for the local consumer, right? It's also going to the global market. That's why it's also one of the opportunity for us to develop our economy in the creative and digital economy. It's also a good opportunity for example, like at the moment, the participation of women in the labor market is low compared to the male workers, right? So that's why this is also something that can give an opportunity for women to participate in the labor market, in the creative and also in the digital economy. And now, people looking for this kind of jobs, especially those who got laid off recently, they are also now looking the opportunity to create jobs by their own in the creative industry and also in the digital economy.
Yes, when it comes to job creation and then productive entrepreneurs, this is also in line with the statement that we just got today from the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry, or KADIN, which is pushing for the creation of employment opportunities. Layoffs can be prompted by several reasons, besides this tariff policy, also economic slowdown. And how do you see this issue also can affect economic growth of Indonesia? That is expected to return to above 5%.
Actually, we cannot depend on the, for example, such as the sector like textile and garments, because you know, actually, this kind of industry move from the, for example, from South Asia, from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and go to Indonesia, now moving to Cambodia, Vietnam, and so on. So we cannot, depend on this sector. That's why I suggest that we should look at our potentials, economic potential, such as creative industry. We have a very rich resource about this, and this is also dealing with the small medium enterprises that we have. 90% of them absorb the labor force at the moment. That's why the government should also think about how to develop the smash in Indonesia with the creative industry, and also use the digital economy as a tools to boost our economy as well.
Okay, and what about trade tariff diplomacy to explore export opportunities, which is exciting?
This is a very political issue, I think, because you know that we already sent our Minister Coordinator of Economy to deal with this kind of issue, but still, the tariff is still very high, 32% to 34%. That's why I think now it depends on the US and China relation, because now they already have some consensus to decrease the tariff, so we do hope that we can also get this influence. And once the tariff reduces, then of course we hope that tariff for Indonesia also will reduce, because this is mostly about the politics between US, China, and other countries.
Okay, and back to the job creation itself. Can the definition of work only be used in the context of wage earners, or can it be expanded in a broader context, for example, developing small businesses?
Well, I think the definition of work should be understood in a broader context, not in a small context like only wage earning employment. Because the definition of work includes a diverse range of productive economy activities, including small business, self-employment, and even certain type of unpaid or informal labor. So we cannot make it a very small definition of works, because works also include those who are not wage-based employment relations, something like that.
And in your view itself, how do you view the working trend in Indonesian society right now? And how can people take advantage of opportunities to still have income and minimize the impact of layoffs?
Well, this is a quite interesting fact, that especially if we talk about youth generation at the moment, Gen Z and also millennium generation, they have a different perspective on how to find jobs. Our parents maybe prefer for the permanent jobs, right? But our generation, but now the Gen Z generation, they don't focus to find permanent job even, because they have a right balance principle, right, between work and also with the social activity and so on. That's why in the near future, there will be a change of our labor market condition and dynamics, and most of our young generation, which is now at the moment constitute more than half of our population, will work perhaps not only in the permanent job, but also looking for a bit free relation jobs, such as part-time job, online job, riding-hailing job, and so on. So that's why it is also a new dynamic in our labor market, but should be very careful about this, because flexible work also have a positive and also negative impact to workers, right? So this is also have to think about that.
Yes, we talk about the working trend, one of them is a freelance trend, is that? And even though we also have remote working, so you think can this be a solution, or will it be a boomerang? Because many companies rely on freelancers for operational work, we are working system that is not really unprotected and often mediocre pay.
Yeah, freelancing and remote work can be a viable solution, especially in the current labor market, because it offers low entry barrier, right? So people can start with just a skill and internet connection, and then they can start business, doing business, and also with not only in the local market, but also global market access. And also they have flexibility and autonomy, and also, of course, pay layoff income bridge, because sometimes it can be used as a bridge from layoff to start a productive income while figuring out the next step or something. But be careful, because most of these jobs usually lack of protection, especially from the social security, national security scheme like the PPDS, and also no guarantee of minimum wage, no health insurance and severance, and so on. There is also issue that most of this kind of job have a low bargaining power, because freelancers or online workers, they depend on the clients and also compete from the same jobs, and sometimes they have to deal with the rates downs and so on. So that's why besides the positive way of freelancing and online workers, but also there is something that we should also be aware about this, especially if we talk about the protection for job security, for protection from the social security, and so also minimum wage and so on.
So indeed, it's all about our choice, but we need to pay attention to the details about the security, right? Still facing the risk of layoffs due to US tariff policies, what would you like to say to all companies, businessmen, the workers to face this still in optimism?
We still have actually possible potential economy that we can develop in our economy, such as what I say in the creative industry. and also we can also look for the potential markets. Even in our country, we still have also our own markets. So I don't think that we should be very worried about the US tariff, because you know, economic sometimes dynamics, politics also sometimes dynamics, right? So better we talk about how to optimize our economic potential here in Indonesia, not only for the resource but also for the markets. We have a reach on the creative industry. We also have a big market for it's our own market. So if we can focus on this sector, optimize the human resource and with trainings, with education and so on, so I'm sure in the future we can also have our own market and also our alternative economy, which is also offer a good for our economic growth.
No, Jay, so everything's dynamic, so make sure we keep optimistic amid this layoff concerns. Stay optimistic and stay creating jobs, besides finding jobs maybe for those who are still finding jobs. And don't forget to pay attention to the details that we just discussed before. Alright, Nawawi, thank you so much for your insight about today's BRI talk, facing the risk of layoffs due to US tariff policies. And like what we said before, hopefully we can keep reducing more number of unemployment in Indonesia and creating more jobs.
More jobs and better jobs.
Okay. Thank you once again, Nawawi, from the National Research and Innovation Agency, from the Population Head of the Population Research Center. Thank you so much for joining us on BRI Talk, and have a good day.
Okay, thank you.
Well, listening to today's BRI Talk, and stay tuned for more inspiring talks from Voice of Indonesia, with me, Rahma, from Indonesia to the world.
Dish from Cirebon that has been famous since the 17th century. It features a rich, spice broth that is truly tempting. The word empal means beef, while kentang refers to the large pot used for cooking it. The beef is slowly cooked in a broth rich with spices such as turmeric, ginger, and lemongrass, creating a savory and slightly spicy flavor that delights the taste buds. Empal kentang not only offers tender meat, but also a culinary traditional passed down through generations, with each spoonful reminding us of the warmth and enjoyment of the past, typically served with rice or lontong. This dish is often accompanied by sambal and crackers to enhance the experience. More than just a meal, empal kentang is an unforgettable taste experience. Enjoy its deliciousness and feel the authentic flavor of Cirebon. This is actually the tea drinking tradition of the Sundanese people. It originally developed by the communities around Mandiyamura. The name comes from the Sundanese word Nyambitkit, which means to bring closure. So, through tea drinking, we can strengthen the bonds of togetherness among us.
That was the explanation of Nyambi. A tea ritual from the Sundanese land, which does have purpose alone, is thriving to preserve. Even in the tradition, the tea used comes from local plantations. It is brewed in a traditional way, using water sourced from springs around Mount Chikurai. Before boiling, prayers are recited over the water. The dry tea leaves are then added and left to steep for a while until the tea is ready to serve. When the tea is served in a teapot, the atmosphere must remain calm. The glass of tea is rotated twice, clockwise, over the palm of the hand. Then, the aroma of tea is inhaled 3 times. This is followed by sipping the tea 4 times gradually.
So in the ritual, there are 4 sips of tea. The first sip is just so that the tea touches the tip of the tongue. The tea is still between one pot. We don't drink it all at once. And the second sip, let the tea reach the middle of the tongue. At the third sip, let the tea reach the back of the tongue. And at the 4 sips, hold the tea for 3 seconds before you swallow it.
This Southeast old tradition is considered a medium for spreading religious teachings. It is said that Sunan Kurunjati also used the Nyambi tradition as a way to propagate Islam. Moreover, every step of pious traditions carries its own profound meaning.
Jadi, dua, itu. So, the ritual is actually meaningful. Rotating the glass twice symbolizes that life revolves around 2 things, day and night, male and female, and others. Life is always about pairs. Inhaling the aroma 3 times signifies that our intention works. An action should always be good and pure. The meaning of the 4 sips is that within us, from when we were born until we die, there are 4 elements that always accompany us. Water, earth, air, and fire. These 4 elements will always be with us, providing goodness in line with what we see. Memberikan kebaikan-baikan juga beriringan dengan apa yang kita inginkan.
This tradition, which has begun to fade even among the Sundanese people themselves, is now being revived by Gelsa through the Nyambi Festival, which has been held since 2017.
Nampaknya alhamdulillah, jadi the impact of the Nyambi Festival is alhamdulillah, although it's not significant. But more people are curious, enthusiastic about Nyambi. We actually have a tea drinking tradition, and it encourages people to make tea drinking as a habit. And then, in Nigeria, it has also contributed to increasing the appreciation for tea among the public. Apresiasi masyarakat demam minum teh.
Now, the Nyambi tradition is becoming increasingly well known. In addition to hoping that this tradition can be preserved,
the first tea in Indonesia remains preserved, especially in mountainous areas that still maintain their tea plantation. And our hopes for the future, as the Nyambit community, is to create a Nyambit village. This village will be integrated, not just hosting an annual festival, but also serving as a permanent Nyambit village. Tahunan setahun sekali ya Nyambit tuh, tapi ada kamu Nyambit juga.
Present a